This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from
good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. It's a pleasure again. It's a new year, and I hope all is well with everyone. I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends. I see my cousin Roberto, Damien Boleg, and I see 357 wearing a non. So I'd like to say thanks to all my Facebook friends. I also see Carmi. Comfort Street Bar gave me a text earlier, and she would also be watching live. I want to say thanks to everyone who tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And again, a blessed new year, and I wish everyone all the best. Today on Inside the Inner City, we're going to talk about the COVID-19 variant and just to have an open view on comments made by current Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, and then we got some response from the official new opposition leader, Honorable Michael Pintard. And we want to have a discussion on that and see if some of the words that came out of Mr. Pintard's mouth was adequate. In other words, what I mean, if it was warranted, should be considered what he is saying. Because he was referring to a statement made by the Prime Minister, and he was talking, you know, some very positive words. We're going to talk a little bit about that as the show goes on. So before we begin, I'd just like to talk about some community announcement, because this show and my dedication is to uplift the inner city community and the country as a whole. So we just want to talk real quick about some community announcement. First thing we want to talk about the conditions of the roads in Nassau, New Providence. We're talking about roads in Camp Road. We're talking about roads in Mason Addition. We're talking about roads in West Creek. We're talking about roads in Angleston. We're talking about roads in Baintan. We're talking about roads in the Grove. The reason that I'm talking about this matter is because we, as taxpayers, paying quite a hefty tax, even though the government has reduced tax from 12% to 10%. They say that is doing very, very well. We're going to see how that works out. But in the meantime, you know, many motorists who pay their insurance, who pay for their car to get a license, who pay for their inspection, they also pay for the roads. Many of us, you know, get our tires injured. We sometimes getting dropping big potholes, you know, and et cetera. And it damages our cars, and then we get nothing in return, but we are paying tax. So I'm asking the minister responsible for the roads and the environment to please look into the models of looking into these inner city community, especially these side corners that are not paved. They have a lot of potholes. These roads are not fit for the expensive cars that many Bahamians do be purchasing. So I'm encouraging the Minister of Environment, the Minister of Public Works, to please, you know, to survey the areas, to talk to the Prime Minister and those responsible to make amendments to repair these roads in these inner city community, because they're terrible. They've been like this for many, many years. I know the government hands is full right now. They're going into the next physical season this year, so they need to put something in the budget where they can pave these roads for the Bahamian people in this country. And like I said, we are taxpayers. We are paying our taxes. We are paying car insurance. Okay, we are paying car inspections. We are paying for car to get a license. We are paying for all of these things, all right? And we get taxed for it. So we expect the best in return for our tax, okay? So please look into the model. We need these roads to be repaired, okay? Especially when it rains, many people burst their tires because they don't see the potholes, you know. Sometimes it makes you swerve off on oncoming traffic, you know, if the road is full of with water and you're driving at a certain speed and you try to avoid the potholes. Sometimes you go on the right or the left, and sometimes you go into ongoing traffic, all because of a pothole. And it's not the responsibility of the citizens. It's the responsibility of the government to deal with these defects. And we're talking about these bad roads in Nassau. This is the 21st century. We're expecting more from our government. They already did their 100 days in office, and they did very, very well, I must say. And they must continue. Okay? Just want to say shout out. I see my good friend Constant Richardson tonight. I want to say to you tonight, Constant, a wonderful good night to you also. Yes. I see Mr. Felix Knowles. I want to say thanks also for tuning in. So, yes, we pay our taxes. We expect the best in return from our government. Okay? I think now it's time for the Bahamian people to really take these taxations serious. I think now we need to file a complaint with the tire boys. If it's a porthole, cause it. We need to file a complaint to the Ministry of Public Works and get a, what we call it? What we call it now, let's say, I burst my car tire on the road, the government road. I should be reimbursed by the government, whatever the cost of my tire is, because it's not the responsibility of me as a citizen. I didn't put the pothole there, okay? So, yes. Okay, and thanks to everyone. Now, all right. Also want to comment on the garbage collections for this community. Also, I would like to say that the garbage collection that is currently in effect right now that serves the Bahamian people, just like the roads, I think we have far too less garbage vehicles. Garbage trucks comes around every 3 weeks. Time is then. The garbage are full. The stray dogs will take out the garbage. Don't care how much you clean up. Rat bill up, roach bill up, and et cetera. I'm also encouraging that the current Minister of Environment, or responsible for the environment, especially the garbage truck collection, to please make an inquest and send it to the powers to be, could be the Prime Minister, and request that we need more garbage collection trucks in the Bahamas. As currently right now, It's a little too slow. That 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's a little too long. Like I said, time is then the garbage is overfull, and then the community comes filthy again. It's not safe. So we really need to look in the matters of these with the utmost importance. So also, I'd like to say to the minister responsible for the garbage collection. These inner-city communities, garbage builds up real quick because it takes 2 to 3 weeks for a garbage collection truck to ride through the community and move the garbage on a timely fashion. And because it takes 2 to 3 weeks of that long delay, garbage tins and garbage bins are overflowed with cans, bottles, whatever you could imagine. And it makes the community look filthy. So like I said again, the military responsible, the government of Bahamas needs more garbage trucks in the Bahamas, urgently, and most importantly, you know. And also, we get warning roll, and that's why I want you guys to use Facebook and to use this opportunity to send information concerning the Bahamian people. Non also is reporting that the street lights on the parks, he's saying the street lights on the park are also off. And these are recreation grounds, and these are places that are supposed to be well lit because this is where people congregate to have fun, to interact with one another. And most important, the kids get together on the park. So definitely, like Mr. Wernon said, we need to fix the street lights on the inner city parks and parks in general in the country. Okay. I see Mr. Tate. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? I see Bucci on. Respect, Bucci. Respect, respect. Look at my boy, Monka. Mr. Monka. Spidey. Doing big things, bro. I'm proud of you. Okay. So now we're going here. We're going to start the topic off now by listening to comments made by the Honorable Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in reflection about the increase in COVID infections in the country. He made a statement, I think, a week ago. So, Mr. Ali Road, can we hear that comment that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas made in response of the increase of the COVID-19 infection?
Many Bahamians are earning their first steady paychecks in a long time. Many fragile, small Bahamian-owned businesses are just starting to recover. And as a country, you are taking important steps to economic recovery. So blunt instruments like shutting our borders or prolonged nationwide lockdowns are off the table.
Davis addressed the media during the weekly press briefing at the office of the Prime Minister. He said his administration is focused on giving Bahamians support to reduce the risk. Additionally, he said the government is expanding hospital capacity in case there is a surge.
Omicron is so transmissible that nearly all of us are likely to be exposed to the virus in the coming weeks or months. And the question is, how ready will your body be to fight off the virus? Yesterday, the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, said that individuals who are not vaccinated are 10 times more likely to contract the virus and 20 times more likely to die.
The Prime Minister also addressed questions related to the large New Year's Eve events multiple hotel properties have planned, while approvals for other events have been pulled.
The primary health goal is to slow transmission among Bahamians, to protect our people, and to protect our hospitals from the coming onslaught of cases. With that in mind, we are asking the hotels to take steps to protect Bahamian staff, and we are asking Bahamians to reconsider attending these events.
Davis says the government is doing all it can to balance the economic and health interests of the country. However, he says there is no single answer. For the Guardian News Network, I'm Kyle Joaquin.
Okay, there's the comment made by the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he's making a lot of sense. You know, we have had a hard time in the last 19 months of the pandemic. And he is stating the fact that locking down the country again would make no sense because right now people are being going through a hard 19 months, right? am I correct? We've been locked down. Our freedom was taken away. You know, many of us are still trying to recover from that long lockdown. Many persons lost their jobs. Many persons lost their businesses. Many persons are right now still trying to recuperate from the last past 19 months. Okay, so what are you saying? And he's very humble on his approach to the Bahamian people. He's not demanding. He's not saying it's mandatory. He's asking the general public to protect yourself and protect your countrymen and countrywomen. Stay away from large gatherings, you know, parties and et cetera. And this is the only way we're going to be able to combat the COVID-19 variant. Okay? We have a new variant, Omicron, and the Prime Minister just stated a few minutes ago that it's more than likely that many of us will get this new variant of the COVID-19. And he said there's no answer to the COVID-19. He's completely correct, because if people are get their first shot, they get the second shot, and they get the third shot, right? Now they need a booster, because the virus keep on mutating. So if you was to make an antidote for the virus, next 2-3 weeks, another screen comes out where it is not effective against the virus. And then you have to get a booster shot. So it seems to me it keeps on mutating and mutating and mutating. So that means we have to understand that even though this is the pandemic, there's an end pandemic. There's no end in sight then for this COVID-19. It's going to take different shape, size, and keep on multiplying, and it is always going to be different variant. So the Prime Minister is right in taking this precaution. Okay? He is very right for taking this precaution. I think it's up to Bahamian people to make sure that we wear our masks, we sanitize our hands, stay away from large gathering. Anyone you see coughing, advise them to please step outside. Anyone who coming down with any symptoms, you start to tell them, go isolate yourself for 3 days or 5 days. If you're in a house and you see your family members coming down with the COVID-19, make sure that you have some type of information on how you can be able to assist them by isolating them in the house. So wherever they are, okay, because we're going to have to protect one another. Okay, so I think the Prime Minister is on the right course. I think that many would say, you know, what are the precautionary measures that the Prime Minister is taking? Well, he just gave a definition on some of the precautions that we need to take. You know, we're going to still keep on wearing masks. We're going to sanitize our hands, stay away from crowds, and et cetera. There's nothing more we can do. You know, if we lock down the country right now, what's going to happen? The economy is just starting to pick up again, okay? Businesses are starting to increase again. People are starting to get employed again. To lock down the country right now, that is a no-no. We get Florida, sending in cruise ships, and many guests are booked year-round for the Bahamas this year. So we see an increase in our tourist product. So that's more revenue for the Bahamas, which we daily need. Okay? Which we daily need. So the lockdown in the country right now is like suicide. Yes, COVID-19 is deadly, but we have to live with it. And we can't run away from it. And that's the bottom line. We're going to get a response of the leader of the opposition, Michael Pintard, and hear what his response is. And then I'm going to give my 2 cents on the Twitter response. And then if you want to weigh in on the response of the Prime Minister or the opposition leader, please do so. I'll go ahead, Mr. Ali Road.
May at some point in the future be useful and necessary for a country.
In recent days, the Bahamas has seen a major spike in COVID-19 cases. More than 1,500 cases were recorded between December 30th and January 2nd. On Thursday alone, 520 were recorded. Another 315 cases were recorded on January 3rd and 375 yesterday. Last week, as cases started to increase, Prime Minister Philip Davis said he was not currently contemplating any serious shutdown of economic activity. Meantime, former Health Minister Dr. Dwayne Sand says as the positivity rate climbs, the government ought to be taking action. The test positivity rate for January 3rd was 44.5%, far above the 5% maximum recommended by the World Health Organization.
At 10%, the siren should sound that signals the need to improve public education and messaging. At 20%, careful, what I call surgical interventions, should be applied to reduce crowds and indoor exposure. At 30%, the measures become more restrictive and so on and so forth.
Dr. Sands added that the government appears to be paralyzed and uncertain about the measures they must now employ so they no longer gamble with the lives of citizens and residents.
We expect a reasonable government to outline the threshold beyond which it is not prepared to tread. It is clear. With 1,600 cases a week and 45% positivity, that we have exceeded that point.
PennDOT also questioned how many more cases need to be recorded before the government implements additional measures. While in government, the FNM came under heavy fire for its handling of the pandemic and measures like lockdowns and curfews. On Tuesday, Health and Wellness Minister Dr. Michael Darvall said the government is doing all it can in the fight against COVID-19. Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Berthany McDermott.
Yes, thank you very much. I see my cousin, Nung Nung, Kendra Fox. I see you. I see my good friend, Jerry. Jerry, I can kill you in the box, and you could cheat by Jerry. Okay, yes. That's the opposition leader, Michael PennDOT. And, you know, he is responding back to the Prime Minister's comments. And, you know, he's talking about the 10%, and then we had, 1,500? So-called persons diagnosed with COVID-19. And Dr. Sands is saying like this happens in the last few days, every day. We have close to 1,500 people come down with the COVID-19. I don't know what the government of the Bahamas can do better than what they're doing now. The question needs to be asked is, the previous administration was very strict on measures. We're talking lockdown, we're talking curfew, we're talking about martial law we had, you know, where the police was in charge of the country, where people couldn't come outside their houses. I mean, they could come outside a certain time, but you couldn't walk the streets, and you couldn't leave your house, et cetera. You know, it seems like we was in a communist country, you know? You know, all our freedoms got took away, many constitutional our constitution was violated on so many fronts at the last administration. You know, I don't care how you put it, you know. For me, my freedom is the most important thing. Yes, health. Yes, it's COVID-19, okay? That's something China and the U.S. experiment on. It backfired. They had it for one purpose. It backfired. And now it's out of control. They can't control it no more. And now they have to find ways on how they can try and make it right in the eyes of those who've been speaking out on the pandemic for many, many months. And what I'd like the people to know is that if you're listening to what's happening in Florida, the governor of Florida, I see my sister, Nicole Lightbury, I'm going to let her send a word. She's listening. And we see the governor of Florida is fighting against the mandatory mandate. You know, he is fighting against the president. He is allowing Florida to be the freest state in the whole America. Many people are leaving other states and going to live down in Florida because Florida is doing similar to what we're doing here in the Bahamas under this Davis administration, you know, allowing the country to be open. You know, once you're wearing your mask, you know, once separated 6 feet. You're sanitizing your hands. If you come down with symptoms, you isolate yourself 3 to 5 days and et cetera. This is all you can do. And you see where the Biden administration now has an approval rating of 45% the last time I look at it. And that means many Americans right now are very upset about the way how the Biden administration is dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, making it mandatory. I look and I see about 4 to 5 million Americans across the country in many different states are quitting their jobs because of the mandatory, asking for mandatory vaccination. And again, we're seeing many people speak on the fact about freedom, about democracy. It seems to me that the powers to be, it could be the World Health Organization or whatever organization is that deals with requirements to countries to follow mandates when it comes to health, especially when pandemics like the COVID-19 or the AIDS virus or any, or Ebola, you know, these are the organizations that oversee research and find ways to cure it and be able to, maintain it, you know, and try to eliminate it. And it seems that, yes, the COVID-19 is real, but it seems to me like they want to take away what true democracy really represents. You know, that's what it feels like. You know, that's what it feels like. It feels like someone is trying to take away democracy. Someone wants to turn the world back into a socialist, communist, where one person speaks and they don't want no one to be able to respond. You know, if you look at our previous last administration, we had like a dictator. And then if you look at some countries like Germany and where there's uprise, you'd see where the citizens are fighting against these, you know, restrictions on mandatory. You know, the whole thing about democracy to me is, it's like God gives each and every one free will. Whether it's good or bad, you have a choice to make. As powerful as God is, who by the snap of the finger, he can destroy the earth. By the snap of the finger, he can recreate the heavens and the earth. Okay? If he is the all-powerful and he looked at mankind and he gave us free will, okay? So to me, you know, I applaud this government for not making it mandatory to get the COVID-19 shot. I'm not against the COVID-19 shot, okay? I'm happy for those who got it, you know, and I'm encouraging people to go get it. But also, at the end of the day, there are some things that are adding up that you see is more than just the COVID-19, okay? This is about taking away your individual constitutional rights. So be very careful. So you must applaud this government. You must applaud the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for at least giving us back our freedom, a little bit of our freedom. We heard the opposition leader Michael Pintard saying that we should not, when the Prime Minister talk about the lockdowns and curfews off the table, I don't think he mean that it's actually off the table. What he is saying is, let's let the country recover, because we know scientifically that there's always going to be a new variant. There's always going to be a different version of the COVID-19. In France, right now, they have here, what's it? France detect a new screen of COVID-19 variant. IHD, I think so. I hope I write it down right. So besides this new one that is around the world now, we have a new one in France. So I guess people are going to have to take a next booster shot for this one. So it keeps on changing, it keeps on changing, and keeps on changing. The opposition leader you know, he's right to say don't take everything off the book. But I don't think that the prime minister actually means take everything off the book. Let's go step by step. Let's try to reopen the country, okay, slowly but surely. If there's an increase, well, like he said, tell the Bayman people, stay away from large gathering, right? Stay 6 feet, sanitize yourself. And if you come down with any symptoms of the COVID-19, isolate yourself. Okay? So these are the measures. I think there's nothing more that the Prime Minister can do, because the lockdown in the country right now is hurting will be hurting the Bayman people more than ever. We can't take a next lockdown. No? So I want to ask my sister, she is in the States, Nicole Lightburn. She's on the show a few months ago. So I want to ask her, Ali, what's the phone number for us? I wonder if she could call in. What's the phone number for, the private one? I'm going to check this right now, but let me ask my sister. Yeah, we can get it. You can come in. I want to ask her. She's watching. She's in Florida. So let's get the information from a person who resides in Florida, and I hope that she can get through. I was supposed to send the number a little earlier, but I was so super busy. And we're saying that Florida is like the free state, and the governor is fighting against mandates that the president is sending. So I want to ask her how the condition is in Florida and why many Americans are leaving from other states in America to go to Florida.
What the number is? Oh, I get it.
Hold on. Okay. She is saying we got slack in the states. Sis, could you explain? Go ahead and explain it so I can read it. And when you say we got slack in the states, and I hope that what the opposition leader was referring to when he was commenting on the prime minister. So I'm waiting for the response. I ain't got her to respond as yet. So anyway. We continue. Yeah, so I don't think we getting slack as my sister was referring to in the States, right? And but by the prime minister's comment, he means all us the best. You know? So to all of the poison's out there. Okay. She sent a message. She said, Florida is an open state for immigration law, and due is COVID-19. It got worse. So she's saying because immigrants are coming in the country, she said it has gotten worse. So she said by persons who are undocumented, illegal entry in the country, and it's an open state, it has brought more persons infected with COVID-19 in Florida. Wow. I want to say good night to gifted child. That's crazy. Okay. The Bahamas is back to CDC level 3 travel advisory. Okay, we were 2 the other day, now that we have gone to 3. And this is because of the increase of the new variant that is now present here in this part of the world. So, yes. And I want to comment on matters. I would like to know who actually speaks for the opposition. Is it the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, or is it the newly elected leader of the Free National Movement and leader in the House of Assembly, the Honorable Michael Pintard? Because I think that when you go to the convention and you lose, the person who won should be the leader. Now, I'm guessing where the former prime minister held the highest office in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he went to a convention after he lost the election. And then Michael Pintard was voted in to replace him as the current leader of the Free National Movement. And I thought it was supposed to be agreed upon that once this is settled by convention, that whoever steps down would allow the next leader to lead and speak for the party. And occasionally I've seen where the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, he seems to be still the leader of the Free National Movement party, because he is very outspoken. I don't know if he outranks Pintard, or he feels he outranks Pintard, and he's going past the party requirements and to say that, hey, I'm the former prime minister. This guy was just a minister under me. Now I have to be under him. So he might be using his title as the former prime minister as a way of entitlement for him to overshadow the young Michael Pintard. And let me read what Mr. Pintard said. All right, let me read it. Pintard repeats, Menace does not speak for the party. Well, Mr. Pintard, if the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Menace, does not speak for the party, then why is he speaking to the media? He's speaking in Parliament. So what you're saying, that Menace does not speak for the party, then who is he speaking for? If he's not speaking for the party, then you have the right, as the man who has the power, to put a leash on him. Because most Bahamians right now don't want to hear a word come out of Menace's mouth. Because many people are very dissatisfied with the performance, especially with the COVID-19, especially with the hurricane relief funds and the damages on family islands like Ragged Island, Freeport, and Abacoque. There are many people who are disgruntled. They don't hate the prime minister. They don't hate the former prime minister, but they reach a point where his voice alone gets people irate, because people just want a breath of fresh air. Because what we need to understand is that when that 19 months of lockdown went down, there were no funds distributed, okay? No stimulus package for the jobs that the former prime minister closed down in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Many businesses he closed down. There was no stimulus package for many persons who were on jobs, okay? So many people, because of that, was living day-to-day off their regular salary. But now they don't have no work. And then the landlords who harboring the people, they got frustrated to the extent where they start to evict people. All right? And all of this got a lot of Bahamians mad, and we are still trying to recover right now as we speak. So I'd suggest to you, Mr. Pintard, as the new leader of the opposition, even though you're saying that the former prime minister doesn't speak for the party, but he surely does speak for the party, and I think he's trying to undermine you. I think that you're a good opposition leader. I don't know if you're going to be successful. It depends on how this current government right now, and how they govern the country. I don't know if your chances are slim to become the next leader of the country, You have come far. You have gone from a minister. Now you are opposition leader. So you're making strides. But so far, I think the current prime minister, Brave Davis, is doing an awesome job. Let me read the next comment from my sister. She is saying, yeah, they are trying to make everyone to get shot, but many people are dying from it. So this is my sister saying that they're trying to make it mandatory and everyone to get the shot, but many people are dying from it. Yes. See, again, there should be no government. There should be no government in the world that tells you, hey, it's mandatory for you to get a shot. They don't have that right. That's what the Constitution all about. That's what democracy all about. It gives me free will. Okay? And if anyone ever tells you, okay, it's mandatory, then listen to me. You're going right back in slavery. Because one step is going to lead from mandatory, then it's going to something else, and then it's going to something else. And then soon directly, you know who get all the power? The police. And he takes orders from the governor general. I mean, he takes orders from the prime minister. Okay? Never allow that. Okay? If you want a dictatorship country, all right? Rome, for example, was a dictatorship country under Caesar. Okay? And whatever Julius Caesar says goes, goes. Okay? You had no rights under Caesar. And some of these companies, some of these organizations, the same thinking on how Rome was and their way of thinking as a communist country, where whatever Caesar says goes, where he is the supreme leader, he is God on earth, okay? And he is almighty on earth, and what he says goes. That's what I think they're trying to do. They want to move democracy. They want to bring in socialists alongside democracy, because democracy right now is a threat, because I could stand up for my rights. If I see anything happen in the country, I could go protest in Rawson Square Garden. I could go speak on media. This is what democracy gives us. Okay? This is what democracy gives us. But if you take away democracy, if you notice, you were saying false news and et cetera. You know, we were saying the government saying false news, which it was not false news. Okay? It's because people were speaking the truth. And because many people were speaking the truth, people on one end of the stick who leads us say don't listen to false news. But come to find out after we do our research, it was not false news. It's about the fact that people are trying to take away your constitution and they want to remove democracy. Whether it's in the U.S., whether it's in Germany, whether it's in France, they want to take away democracy because democracy has become a threat. All right? My sister also said it's going to get worse before it gets better. Since the world is all affected by the virus, we should all be on one accord. And that's what she's saying. Wow. Yeah. So if the prime minister, what he said, I think he's doing the right thing. I think we have to understand that some people, we're going to lose life. We're going to lose a lot of people. But we can't fail. We can minimize our increase of the COVID-19 by just following restrictions. Stay away from crowds. Isolate yourself. Anyone come down with any sick sickness or symptoms, you know, check a physician. If you don't check a physician, do some research, check with the healthcare system, and they should provide you with some information on how you can help cure yourself. All right? So I think Michael Pintard is making a valid point, but I don't think that the current prime minister had any intentions of to say he's going to be careless or fall asleep on the job. He is just saying that, you know, we can't lock down the country again. We're just recovering, you know. He's telling you to stay away from crowds. And he's saying it in such a humble manner. I can live with that. I can't live with the former prime minister dictating to us and got the police on us. You know, you get locked up in the road, going to the pump. You get locked up selling coconut. And the thing is, most about it, the high employment with the lockdown, that's double trouble, you know. Yes. So if you want to comment on the topic, feel free to call in. The numbers on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. All right? We have to take a break. Okay? So my producer, Ali Rose, say we're going to take a commercial break. I have one more comment. My sister's saying it should be mandatory for everyone to get tested. Makes sense. Makes sense. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after the break.
Disrespect, you see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to a hundred.
In a year when hugs and happy smiles have been few and far between, Fresh Market knows just how important this holiday season is to everyone. We've made our list, we've checked them twice, all to ensure that your holiday meals are filled with fresh and delicious ingredients. Our produce departments are brimming with seasonal favorites, our delis and bakeries are filled with holiday sweets and treats, and our grocery aisles are stocked with all your favorite essentials. It's the best time of the year, and we're giving you Fresh for the Holidays.
Proper hand washing is extremely important as we continue to fight the spread of COVID-19. We touch many surfaces throughout the day. It is important to be mindful of where we place our hands as we may be touching contaminated surfaces and making ourselves sick. This is why you are encouraged to not touch your face. You must wash your hands often throughout the day to prevent infecting yourself or someone else. Always wash your hands before eating and after using the restroom. Wash your hands before and after you care for a sick person. Remember to wash for 20 seconds each time with soap and water, scrubbing your hands together and covering all surfaces of the hand. This simple step can save your life. Let us protect ourselves and each other.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Inside the Inner City, a show that comes on every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. And tonight, we are talking about COVID-19. And we want to make reference to the fact that it seems that many are coming out their shell now. What I mean is that we saw where Michael Pintard is questioning the prime minister. Now we see former minister of education, or former minister of education, Honorable Jeffrey Lloyd, was saying, modest concern in the school, reopening, and he was saying that we need to get back to face-to-face, if I'm correct, learning. And Ms. Glenys Hannah Martin, who is now the current Minister of Education, she made her comment. And she was saying that she wasn't trying to get into a back and forth, but she just wants to respond. And let me read a response. Ms. Glenna Harton, Ms. Minister Glenys Hannah Martin blasted her predecessor, Jeffrey Lloyd, saying he, what is this? Overstepped, opposed to the resumption of face-to-face teaching and left behind a crisis undebatable in public education. You know, her comments came after Mr. Lloyd during a Free National Movement press conference on COVID-19 criticized the government for postponing its plans to resume learning with a hybrid model amid scoring COVID-19 cases. It is with utter disbelief that I'm going to go to page 5. This is where it is. I need to give me some glasses, man. All right. I listened to the comments. Hold on, where it go? Where it going? All right. Page 5, that's page 5. No, I'm on page 5, sorry. My bad. All right. Yeah, that's it. From page 1, listen to the comments of the former Minister of Education, Jeffrey Lloyd, at today's press conference. Ms. Hannah Martin said in a video recording, "I would say at the outset that I have endured to resist commentary on the lackluster performance of the former minister. However, he has reemerged into the spotlight, and as a result, I am compelled to respond. He must be aware that by now I know the facts. The former minister must remember that as he advocate for children to resume face-to-face learning when the Ministry of Health and Wellness advises otherwise, during his term in office, he made the decision to keep public school children in a fully virtual mode when there was no such public health prohibition. And at that time, all other schools in the country went into a hybrid model, which he is now advocating for. He also knows that no other active steps were taken or focus brought to bear to track down or help the thousands of children who were plummeting through the crack because they had never attended school in almost 2 years. In fact, he has hardly, if ever, spoken of those children. Further, the inactions of school repairs nationwide was a level of political disaster, that was, she called it delinquency, that was perhaps unprecedented. The former minister knows full well he left behind a crisis and a debatable, and he should instead be heard to say that he will join hands with all stakeholders to ensure that the children are given every opportunity possible to develop their potential. This is the time for heroes, not hypocrites," the Anglican minister said. " earlier yesterday, Mr. Loy said the continued absence of students from classroom will be detrimental to the advancement of the Bahamian students. Okay. Wow. We had Miss Destiny Evans. Oh, Chrissy Love. Chrissy. It's Chrissy Love. We got Chrissy Love. She right there listening. Thank you, Ms. Chrissy. See you watching. Go ahead, I take this call. Go ahead, caller.
Good holiday to this dark universe.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Boy, we need justice, law, and order.
Yes.
In this country. Hello, Chrissy.
Yes, what's up? Yeah, she texted me just now.
Yeah, okay. Look here. Glenn, before I make my main point, Glennis, she are an intelligent woman.
Hmm.
And I remember everything that she just heralded.
Mm.
It was true, whereby Jeff Lloyd.
Yes.
Wanted the children to go what you would call it?
Virtual.
Right. And the thing is, he was around hustling computer to an extent.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
To make sure, who didn't have. And still some hadn't gotten.
Mm.
So, you know, Glennis, she are intelligent. She a smart woman.
Yes, very smart.
Plus, she are intelligent.
Mm.
And more power to her. And I hope she would continue standing. That's an Auckland woman, man, you know.
Auckland woman.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, she's
Auckland,
nice. She's
Auckland
nice.
Woman.
It's very
she
nice.
Ain't got time to be jiving.
Yes, yes.
And I love how those Anglican people put it back. And
yes.
The majority of those people in Anglican,
mm-hmm.
they descend, who are not from Auckland, they descend from Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good for you all, man, you all Anglican people.
Mm.
I'm an Auckland man, so I know the time with us.
Yes.
We don't fall up.
Yes, sir.
No. We go to the end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you know what I really want?
Go ahead, go ahead.
The Minister for Health.
Mm-hmm.
I wish all of those that's in the health service
mm-hmm.
would take possession of this hospital in a decent way.
Mm-hmm.
People that get stabbed up, get shoot up, get knocked down, cars and trucks and stuff, just pick them up and carry them to the hospital and drop them there.
Mm.
What needs to be done? Somebody needs to be taking the information from those people that carries them there. Because something untoward could be going on.
Mm.
Something untoward had went on.
Mm.
And I know from experience, don't let those people be dropping those people to the hospital and just pulling off in the vehicle.
Mm.
Get their name, who they are, where they're from, and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
So we could get to the bottom of the situation.
Yes.
So the police could get to the bottom of the situation.
Yes.
Don't just say you can't find,
mm-hmm.
or you don't know who did it, and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Hold those people that brought them there. You know, responsible.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with getting their name, where they pick up the people from, what they saw, what they heard. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't just drop them there and yuck out,
mm-hmm.
leave them to the nurses. That's indecent.
Yes.
Run this place in a decent manner. This is our country.
Yes.
And we pay the nurses, the doctors, and the politicians. Okay, especially the politicians.
That's our hot money.
Our money.
Yes.
Don't put everything on the nurses them, no, on the doctors them.
Yes,
don't
sir.
Stress them out.
Mm-hmm.
And stressing out the police on the extent, no.
Yes, sir.
Because they don't know where they're looking.
Yes, sir.
And I hope they got what I've said. And
yes.
That's coming from.
You make sense.
Dallas,
you make sense.
Ferguson.
Makes
blind
sense.
Man.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, continue doing well, man.
Thank you very much. Make
you
good sense. Make
and
good
hello, sense. Chrissy again.
Yeah, that's Chrissy.
Yeah, that's Jack.
Yeah, that's Jack.
That's
well.
My hygiene.
Yes.
We're take
gonna,
it care.
Okay, we're going to take.
Thank you, Scott.
No problem. No problem, Raymond. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello, good night.
Good night. How are you doing, Scott? Happy New Year, man.
Man, to you too, man. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to all the listeners all over the world.
All right.
Especially Chrissy Love. You say she listening?
Yeah, that's Chrissy.
All right, Chrissy, this is the blind one. Papa. Hope everything's okay with you, Chrissy. Thank you for everything you did in the past, all the education, all the getting used to the talk show. I still believe that you're one of the best talk show female hosts we had in the Bahamas. I know you're enjoying yourself with every year. You keep up the good work. you know, I also want to say condolence to the family of the Sydney Boy.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
You know, I believe it sounds like, you know, some people might say, well, anyway, I won't give credit to where credit's due. He sounds like he's one of the most or the successfulest behemoth internationally and locally we had so far, so far. And I believe we should be proud of him. I think he set a good example for a lot of us to know that we can make it. Doesn't matter where we come from. Mm. So, you know, I want to just say thanks to his family for all the things what Sydney might have been doing over the years, what we mightn't be aware of. Not everybody to say what they just be doing. Not everybody like to call their name. Some people like to be anonymous.
Yes.
So, you know, I respect the Poitier people, them. I think they're educated people, smart people. Some people say the Poitier people, them. So respect to them, too. But I'll always remember, when I think about Sydney dead, I'll always say, Sydney died 2 days, they say last night or something. Eh?
Yeah.
I'll say he died 2 days before my boy, Levan Bannister Poitier. You know, he passed away a year before last, and he would have been 50 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, of God's spare life. But school, you know, I don't know if the boys and the girls industrial school come underneath the Ministry of Education, right?
Sure.
But you know, school, you know something? I miss you on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. What happened?
I took a really break, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the Guardian still was jamming. I was surprised when you were on. I said, man, I didn't get a chance to tell you any, you know?
Yeah, thanks, man. I got off early that Friday. The schedule was set up for the last one. The Hajja Block was to be the last show on that particular Friday at 4 o'clock. And then she finished at about 5:30, I guess.
So, screw it. I think I got to accept that for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Well, two of them was Fridays, and you was missing.
Yeah, yes, I was. Sorry for that.
Screw it. Let me say something about... the former Minister of Education.
Go ahead.
Now, I believe, like, former ministers, them, just like how I hear the new leader of the Free National Movement, Michael Pintard, just like how I hear him was mentioning that the former ministers should have something to say if questions being asked over something they could help us to, you know, with what we come across. Yeah. I mean, what this new government come across. But I believe people like... But it's hard to say the Prime Minister should shut up, right? But Jeff Lloyd should shut up. He says with the most respect. I mean, and I ain't trying to be like, think to him, but I mean, and we just wrote him over tonight. I mean, and Jeff Lloyd was so arrogant, man. I mean, and he had his time to do some good. I think Jeff Lloyd, they ain't get no shame, you know. They ain't get no shame. He get the most suggestion. He trying to tell the woman, excuse me, tell the minister now how he think they should do it. And then she being decent enough to tell us she should know the facts. He should be aware that she know the facts by now. Yes. This Jeff Lloyd, I'm shameless. And I really believe that he should shut up. I remember Ms. Martin being on your show, Scrooge, a few months ago before the general election.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, Scrooge, how you was be working with the young people in the area. I don't know if your hands are focused, but I listen to you. You have a lot of things which you say you should be trying to do when it comes down to community development and human development in your community and all over this country.
I never stop working right now.
what I think in a boat, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how good you know Ms. Martin, right? But I know her, like, with the political side and the side of the politics. She's a serious woman. That's Adriana's daughter, like you should know.
Yes.
And she don't play. And she all about putting behemoth in and putting people first.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed her in the opportunity. This ain't her first time.
No. This is about
the
fifth
time.
This
ain't her first time as a cabinet minister.
Think
you know,
fifth time.
And people like Bremen and others tell the world that they would like for her, we would like for her to be one of the first woman prime minister we had in this country.
She's strong enough.
She's strong enough.
I would vote for her, definitely.
I would vote for her, too. Scrooge, what I say with this, with the boys and the girls industrial school, like, some people might say, well, it's too late when they don't reach the boys' industrial and girls' industrial school, or it's too late when they reach the prison. I think it's never too late, and anybody could change, especially when you get the right support and assistance and the people who are concerned and compassionate enough to understand that anyone could change. Like, I was thinking, like, the Ministry of Education have a lot of work would they be doing, like painting, renovations, building new schools. You know, I was thinking, like, them young people you have in your community, like, who might be idle, hands, Scrooge. It's a good opportunity now for you to, like to be able to not just teach them and tell them how to go about doing things, but financially show them how to make a dollar and how to try to turn it over. You might lose some, but I believe you save one, it'll be good. I want a friendly reminder to you to reach out to Ms. Martin. You know, I know this is a new year and they just reaching there and everything, but, you know, the summer break, they'll be doing things in the schools. You know, this COVID run, so you don't know what could happen. But I listened to Ms. Martin on your show, Scrooge, and I just want to suggest that even if it's just the boys industrial school or whatsoever, or some of the people in the East Street area in your community, be able to empower them, Scrooge. I know you don't believe in that contracting and all that stuff with Scrooge. It's all about empowerment. They got to be able, they get their little girlfriend, some of them slipping and making baby and thing. So they need to feed the baby thing. So before they go pick up a gun and go rob, let's see how we can empower them. So I just want to remind you and say, welcome back. And I was missing a little while and happy new year. And I still think you're doing a good job, Scrooge. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank all you very much, Papa. Yeah. When you're referring to working with Miss... the new Minister of Education, Ms. Glenisana Martin. In fact, in partnership with Lenahan Bahamas, she is also in charge of BTVY, which is on Soldier Road Technical Vocal Institute, and how we're building a new community center through Lewis Creek. Definitely, we're going to partner with the new minister on finding ways how we can get BTVY, excuse my language, in the community center in Lewis Creek, which is a part of Lenahan Bahamas. And everything I'm doing now is finding creative ways to bring empowerment to the community, and that's dealing with small businesses. So in reference to what Ms. Lenahan Martin was stating and the fact that Jeffrey Lloyd replied and said that, you know, the kids need to get back to face-to-face learning in school, I would just like to say I was listening to it earlier, and I was listening to, I think it was an ad playing on Guardian Radio, and it's talking about, I think it was dentistry. Dentistry was talking about their business and how the new variant can affect their business and how they're just starting to pick up. And they're talking about the fact that how they have to fogger, that once you enter the building, you go and there's a fogger that means that deals with the COVID-19. Well, these type of measures, if we're going to have face-to-face learning, and I can understand why this government right now is hesitating. They say they're going to wait till 2 weeks to see how things work out. And then they say later on, I listened, they said they would go and see if they get extended before they get back to face-to-face learning inside the school. And I can understand why, because, you know, there's a new outbreak of a COVID variant, you know, and the government is trying to find the best strategy. So I think it's better to wait. I think face-to-face learning, like Mr. Lloyd's suggestion, yes, but it can't happen right now because it's a new variant, and the government right now has to find a way on how they can be able to do face-to-face learning or open box school where we could have face-to-face learning again, okay? So in the meantime, the government's going to refer back to virtual TV learning, which I think is not really effective because most kids don't have Wi-Fi. Most kids don't have the time to be home to actually do visual training where the teacher is on Facebook and the kids are on Facebook and the teachers teach them online. So I think that is not too effective, you know, because many of our kids don't have access to internet, and many of our kids is not going to sit down for 3-4 hours in the front of a computer and then teach from a teacher when they're in a house and they're being distracted. They're going to go in the fridge. They're gonna go outside for a few seconds. They're going to let the teacher be talking, you know, teacher might be thinking that the kids are still there present, listening to her, but they go up and down because without the parent in the house, and the parent will not be in the house because the parent has to work. That's why we have that 9-to-3 thing where the kids go to school. That gives the parents time to go to school, I mean, to go to work, and et cetera. So I think what the current Minister of Education is doing is precautionary measures. I think she should take that step. I think we should get back to face-to-face learning and take our chances because the kids, them online, it's for more like rich kids and kids who have a stable family, a mother and a father and aunties and uncles, and they have a stable house. They have all their bills paid, majority of their bills paid. But for kids who live in the inner city community of Anglesey, Camp Road, and Fox Hill, and et cetera, who have their low-income parents who are just struggling, you know, some parents only making a little $300-$400 a week, some making less. So I think the online learning, it's effective, but it's not effective more than face-to-face and kids interacting with one another. See, kids like to play and they learn more because if they're in a setting in a room, they learn more. But if they are separated and isolated home and on online, it's not going to work too much. They're going to be overweight. They're going to be miserable. You know, they're going to rebel. And for the last 19 months, we really, really need face-to-face learning. We really need the schools back open again. And most importantly, I heard a good suggestion where parents were saying, you know, they would like to have a say on whether their kids go to school or not. You know, but definitely we need face-to-face learning back in our school. We need school reopened. But we just have to put some precautionary measures. We need a foam thing. Like when the kids reach the school, they get the foam thing. If anyone comes down with a COVID-19, we can isolate that kid. You know, we can be able to have the healthcare professionals in the schools or at the administration level. We have teachers or nurse or two nurses assigned to the schools or assigned to all the schools. We need to bring some of the nurses out from the hospital, you know, and assign them to schools and let them have the COVID team where they could be able to diagnose the kids, they could be able to help the kids, and they could make sure see that the school runs fully. You know, we're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Who's he?
Hey.
Yeah, bless it.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I appreciate this conversation. I was promising to take the whole matter off, right? Because the beam in public, at least a lot of people over there like me and like what they're saying, but a lot of people have a problem with the truth. And it was an ignoramus, we call it, say, gag 52, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the gag me is like the gag the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I told these fools with these visceral BS that the message I carry is above me and them? How many times I said that, Scoozy?
You said it from the last 19 months.
Scoozy, how many times I said that we'll be in a viral paradigm, in a vaccine paradigm, vaccine variant?
Yes, up and down.
I'm still dumb and I still don't understand the science, right?
Sandra Enfield, cuz. Go ahead, cuz. Go ahead, sorry.
I just want to touch on some things. As far as the school is concerned, I thought that was very integral as far as the parents having a say if they want these students to come to school, hence that would lead to less children in the school. Some parents who have children in government schools might be able to keep them home and at a certain age, and then it'll be less pressure, and then it'll be less, it'll be more space. So what happens is some of the primary schools have ventilated classrooms like the olden days style, and some have air conditioned. So the indoor transmission dynamics is totally different as far as viral particle size and microns and all that. I don't want to get into that, but what I really want to touch on is what you were saying initially. I said we are being duped because of our ignorance. And so I said to the public, educate yourself because they're going to use it to enslave you. So the less you know, the more they squeeze on your rights. These laws that they're implementing are not going to be reversed when the pandemic is over. You know?
No.
These laws will be and have been locked, cocked, and ready to impose totalitarianism on the global sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been following global agendas from the 90s. There's a guy named Max Egan. He was doing it for 40 years. So I listened to him. And all of these guys, who they call conspiracy theorists and crazy, everything that they said actually is coming into fruition. I knew about Dr. Sebo talk about vaccine mandates from like the early 2000s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you an example that everything I was saying was true. I could prove everything that I was saying, you know, Scoozy. You know that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Let me tell you why. You see, these messages are not driven for me, you know. See, what happens is the reason why I didn't get vaccinated because I see too much lies, and then I start to read more and study more. And then I found out that these people don't even know the science that good themselves. The guy who established the concept of mRNA vaccinations, Dr. Robert Malone, his Twitter account was suspended. Dr. Gert Vandenbosch, who's an infamous vaccinator, they lambasted him for speaking the truth about mRNA technology. Mm. Now, there's evidence, and they noticed that the spike protein is causing DNA damage in the cytoplasm and the nucleus. They know this. This is what, and so the fact that PIGBOS 54 is a new protein just discovered in 2019. It only has 54 chains. It's a very small amino acid as far as the bonds are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And they just found out the way protein is transported in the endoplasmic reticulum, or let's say cellular transport protein system, is not the way that they thought. Protein don't travel the way that they thought. Everything is protein. COVID-19 is a glycoprotein. That simply means that glucose molecules are attached to it all over. Now, what it does is glucose molecules attached to lipids too. So lipids play an important role in transducing chemicals and viruses, vectors into the cytoplasm, into the cell. It plays in the uptake, mm-hmm. in induction, right? Now, this is so complicated that what happens is there's something called the receptor binding domain. So this is how I noticed this and the few in gene. This is how I noticed viruses manipulated. Dr. Ali Jabala, the Korean doctor, I think, he first showed the affiliation for the CoV-2 virus for human cells in vitro or in a petri dish or whatever. This has a high affinity for human cells overall. This is what they notice, you know. And so this virus is acting so funny now. That's why you see, but I said it's highly mutagenic because this new concept now is that this the spike protein, As the spike protein look for a way to get into the cell as it binds, a binding domain. So there's the H2 receptor, and it scans the cell walls, and then it actually, it's like a stargate system.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the receptor binding domain is left open. It's something called a natural terminal domain, I think. And then what happens is like it stucks in the open position, so the virus is able to have a field day and get past the cytoplasm. Mm-hmm. But I could explain it, but it's just that I try and explain it for the public.
Right.
But in a way, when you watch these molecular events, you know that this virus is manipulated. It has too many deviances that they've ever seen. And the fact that there's an email between Dr. Fauci and I can't remember the other guy, that shows that they struck down the Biden Declaration right away. It shows that they conspired to dismiss and discredit doctors with PhD in molecular biology and genetics and all and the likes.
Mm.
And they did this on purpose. And now all of a sudden it's an open door that even the Biden administration intentionally dismissed. Well, they show weak investigation into the origins of the virus. They was never exposed to the raw data.
Mm.
They have never did true isolation of this virus. They know that. And this is the only way to really. This is why the FDA strike down the PCR test. It's a lot of people come up with the PCR. I so much loopholes in the PCR test. That is hard to explain. I'm tired talking about it. But
there's a loophole in so many things that I can't explain.
But seriously, there are six other nucleic amplification tests that you can do these nucleic amplification without cycle threshold for you to manipulate the positive and the negative.
All right.
When this virus first broke, I said on the radio, I remember they told them that the cold and flu were detected for COVID and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the CDC website, you know. And so what hurts me is, people are getting vaccinated. Doctors and nurses are getting vaccinated, and they're still being infected post-vaccination.
Yeah, they say that.
So it's a census paradigm. So they still can transmit it, but you coming on to them and lessen the effects, man. You know, and one minute that they changed the definition for vaccination, but I also reminded they changed the definition of what is a pandemic.
A pandemic.
And they've changed the definition for herd immunity. And so what happens is when they're fooling the sheep. When they say antibodies are waning. That makes me sick because antibodies wane naturally as the viral loads decrease. One of the escape mechanisms of a virus is the virus will replicate fast. Just like me and you say, hey, schools, there's 100 of us to 5 of them. We know we could beat them. So the virus replicates fast in order to overcome the immune system. It's an escape mechanism.
That's right. That's what happened now. See, listen. What you're saying now is why they're saying there's a new variant in France also. We have this one here now.
I
only
call.
Now we get France now. Now you see?
I'm watching the TV, drinking the beer. You see?
So what you're saying is actually true. It's changing. It's transforming. Anytime you get something.
Excuse me, but listen to me. Because
hey.
That's why I tell you, you need to talk over here. Some of the people don't even deserve to hear what they have to say. Listen to me,
Scoozy. Make a quick note.
Antigenic shift and antigenic drift. the virus is highly mutagenic because of its characteristics. The flu virus is the only virus that goes through allergenic shift and drift. So what that simply means is they're able to reassort or exchange genetic material between A, B, and C and their subtypes.
Yes.
And so this is why they've been fooling us, because they know 52 ain't supposed to have this knowledge. And the fact that people are fighting me down, but you know, I ain't got time to worry with them, because I know where I come from. But like I say, there's a lot of new innovations. There's a lot of new discoveries, and science doesn't thrive on a particular one narrative status quo bias. The scientific method is not designed for that.
Right.
And so the fact that they're driving these one-way narratives and these laws are being implemented, and they're not going to be voiced. But let me say again, hats off to Mr. Davis, because he might be my next hero in the political realm.
He gave us freedom.
Next to Governor DeSantis. I love Governor DeSantis.
That's Governor DeSantis from Florida, right?
Yeah.
That's what people need to follow.
So when you get science and politics, excuse me, so you get politics?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know...
I was trying to remember the governor name.
The Santos. Yeah, so, and then you look at the geopolitical bullying with Pfizer.
Yeah.
And then you look at, they want you to think what they want you to think. People forget the reason for propaganda and misinformation, you know.
Yeah,
All of a sudden, I was given out misinformation, this for me, but it's so much in my head, and they'll get scared, but, you know...
Thanks,
I like this show tonight. I had the call, and so, you know, in reading science, there's so much innovations, and people, even my brother, some of them, they hate me. They say, well, you know, I think, but when you call me smart, you think I'm smart, I actually get angry.
Yes.
Because it shows your level of ignorance. Because common sense, as when I was telling you, the escape mechanisms of viruses.
Mm.
Viruses are four escape mechanisms that I didn't know at the top of my head.
Mm.
They replicate fast, they morph, they thicken their cell walls, and they go dormant.
Yes.
So the guy who called Dwight Swan out of the morning, who said viruses lay dormant and they wait for immune system to become weak, he is well into it, but he's not on a molecular level.
All
so what I'm saying is viruses actually wait for their immune system to become weakened for them to really start replicating and to attack the immune system again.
Thanks, man.
This virus isn't going anywhere. So to perform this with a PCR test, it is too sensitive. It actually picks up dead viral particles and amplifies it. Any test that amplifies viral particles millions and billions of times, it has to be at fault. Dr. Fauci admitted that anything over 35 doesn't have a viral load and doesn't make sense. But other scientists saying anything over 25 cycle threshold, thermal cycle, they know what I mean. But bless it, though.
Thanks very
much.
Speak
the truth. Bless it, man.
Thanks,
I don't want to them in a scoozy.
You don't have to.
Mankind, scoozy. Let me tell you another thing. Technology is moving so fast, right?
Yeah.
Until the global sheep blindly walking into totalitarianism.
Yes.
All of these mechanisms, we have a technological advances. All the fools who fascinated with technology. Technology will enslave us.
Yes, thank
they
you.
They have AI robots giving speeches to people.
Yes,
they
you're
have
right.
brain-to-brain cell brain-to-brain communication now.
Yes.
They have been autonomous robots. China getting ready to put autonomous robots
all
on
right.
the border now. So
all
when
right.
the autonomous robot malfunctions, say, oh, he killed 100,000 people or killed
all 10 right.
people. Yeah, die on my fault. But I know where we're headed, you know.
Yeah,
dystopian, transhumanistic, idealistic society. Bless it.
Thanks a lot, Gus, man. You make a lot of sense. And what you're referring to, the virus has been taken on many different forms. So you're seeing now we have this Omicron, right? Before we had a next variant before that. Now you look at France, there's a new variant. This is going to be endemic, eh? What we're dealing with now, so we're going to have to live with it, okay? I just wanted to let everyone know that. I see Kenya Ramming. Thank you, Kenya. I see you tonight. Again, I see my boy, Kiat. When you say Kiat, you know, I call some of the people by the nickname, so don't get confused. You know, most Bahamians have nicknames, so I call many people by their nicknames, you know. Unlike my cousin was stating this now, when he talks about how it has different variants, you know, we're going to see it change and change and change. And every time we come up with a booster shot and we give it to the person, it's going to change again. And you're going to need a next booster shot and the next booster shot and the next booster shot and the next booster shot, because the virus is going to take different shapes and forms from its inception. And I don't think it was designed for that. It was designed for something else, but now it's gone, getting out of control, because the Bible states that man will become their own destructions. So some things you see, man made, but it's also their destruction, because some things we ain't supposed to meddle with, okay? Certain things we ain't supposed to meddle with, okay? Certain things we causing destruction on ourselves, you know? And when he's talking about the variant right now, it could take different shapes. Eric, listen to this. Okay, if you're in a house, right, and you have roaches, and you buy Bagon, you spread a Bagon for the whole 1 week, right? And you use the Bagon for 2 weeks. You'd wonder why you see the first week, you spread a Bagon, you see a lot of roaches there. Then you keep on using the Bagon. And the second week, you notice, you see that babies ain't dying from the Bagon. So you'd have to go and get one. You would have to get one. What the next when bear spray, not bear, what do you call it now? Hot shot, right? And when you spray the hot shot, you would see it killed the babies of the roach, okay? So the roaches will keep on adapting from the spray that supposed to kill them. It would kill them. It would kill the mother and daddy, but it wouldn't kill the babies. And then you would have to change that spray to the next aerosol spray, you know? You see, so it's the same thing. This disease is not going nowhere soon, and we're going to have to live with it. It's man-made. It's gotten out of control. We here in the Bahamas, we got to come up with our ways on how to handle it, and we have all the tools. Faster schools, if we're going to allow face-to-face. I listened to a report early on Guardian Radio, and I listened to the dentist, and they were saying how they have this foam thing that when you enter their work, their place of business, that the foam comes out. So if you watch those movies like Stargate or Star Wars, you'd see like, or any scientific movie where you see, or aliens, you'd see like where they go in the atmosphere, or they go on the moon, and then they go in this room, and this room, this spray comes out, and it goes all over the body, kills any germs or virus that you're carrying, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we'd have to implement those in school even before we get to face-to-face. You know, so these are the precautionary measures that the Prime Minister is going to have to consider. These are the measures that the Minister of Education, Honorable Glenazana Martin, have to put into consideration. And most importantly, I've heard nothing reference to building a strong immune system. Okay? Firstly, we have all the fruits and vegetables here in Arsenal Providence at Bamsi. This could be a preventative measure. The same way you tell people that you use condom, okay? Just how we tell people to use condom. We need to start telling our kids, you know, as a preventative measure to get our immune system strong again, we need to provide a diet of fruits and vegetables which are available in abundance at our Bamsi, which we spend millions and millions of dollars on. We need to get those watermelons in school. We need to get those pineapples in school. We need to get those oranges. We need to get those apples. We need to get those grapes in our schools. And we have to make this a priority, you know, as to get kids healthy food. Because when it comes to the immune system, the stomach is the immune system. So what comes into the body is what's going to defile you. So we have to encourage our kids and be able to provide them with the best healthy living. And we are Bamsi. We need to find way how we can get Bamsi. You know, tons and tons of fruits and vegetables goes to waste, right? Which are very beneficial and healthy and very wasteful to the Bahamian public, even though we're spending millions. Why not incorporate Bamsi in the school where we could have meals, fruits and vegetables to give to our kids to build up their immune system, okay? We need to find ways on how we can get Bamsi in any of the city communities of Camp Road, Fox Hill, Grandstand, and Bainton, and Mason Addition, and et cetera. We need to encourage healthy living, you know? And I want to remind people on this. Oh, I see Lucas Metropolis. Lucas on the show before the Christmas. He is the man of Lenan Bahamas, who will be insistence here in the Cumberland Bahamas. Thumbs up, Lucas. I see Mr. Nemo. Oh, look here. You say Penniman? Wire. I see your wire. Yes. I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends. Yeah, so we have to encourage healthy living, you know? And this virus is not going nowhere soon. Okay? The immune system is our stomach. Let's encourage our citizens to start eating healthy. Pineapples. Watermelons, you know, apple, oranges, bananas, you know, squash, you know, tomatoes and cabbage and carrots and beets and etc. All these in abundance with our canap and our plums and our pears and our, you know, and our cane and our mangroves, you know, and our red peppers. All these combined together, it would build up our strong immune system.
And this in turn will be able to prevent some of us from catching the COVID-19, which is going to be here for a very long time. Okay? But I say shares. I see your shares. I see your Daddy Black. How much more minutes we get, Ali? We completed your time. I think we get 2 more minutes, so we're going to close out. Yes. So I just want to encourage Bahamian people. Listen to what the Prime Minister has to say. Listen to yourself. You hear my cousin online talking to the general public. Wear your mask. Sanitize your hand. If you're coming out with any cough-like symptoms, isolate yourself. If you are in public and you see someone not wearing their mask, don't be afraid to tell them this is a public place for safety precaution. Please put your mask back on. If you're any place that is crowded with a lot of people, please avoid those particular spots because you yourself can become a victim, all right, because it's a transmissible disease. So we have to be very careful. So it's up to you, Bahamians. Other than that, you have a humble prime minister, right? If you do not do these things, if you go to these crowded events, okay, when he tell you not to go, if the numbers increase, right, of COVID-19 infection, right, the Omicron, then we get this one from France, okay? If this is it, then the prime minister has no choice but to take these measures that what Michael Pintard of the Free National Movement and the leader of the Free National Movement business and the House of Assembly, we'd have to do things like what the former prime minister did, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, and that's lockdown and curfew. So if you don't listen to a humble man like this current prime minister right now, and you go there and you get slack, and you go in public and crowds and have these big parties and inviting hundreds of people, the virus picks up, then the prime minister has no choice but to lock down the country. And then look what it costs. It costs businesses to close down. It costs the schools to close down. It costs us to be curfew. All right? So we have the responsibility. We have all the education. Okay? We know what to do. We know to stand 6 feet in line. This is what I do. If I'm going downtown, I'm walking without a mask. If I'm not walking with nobody. When I reach to the brink of the hill by Government House, if I see more than 1 person, 2, 3, 4 person, I put my mask on. As I continue to walk and I go in the bank, my mask is on. I sanitize my hand. After I come out the bank, I get a short of breath. As I leave the bank, I'm still in the vicinity of people, I have my mask on. As I get out of the crowded area, and I'm headed up the step where there's no one present, I take off my mask and I walk the road. When I'm walking and I see someone that's coming up on the side of me, I take my mask in my pocket and I put it on my face, okay? If I'm driving in my truck and I'm giving someone a ride, I tell them to keep on their mask and I don't wear my mask because it's my truck, all right? But they keep on their mask. I might not have on no mask. If it's more than 2, 3 people in the truck, then I put my mask on. Okay? So we have to be very careful, all right? As we get this humble prime minister, and he be forced to lock us down. So we have the power, all right? So I see your shares. Tori Nemo. And I want to say, and my sister also says, take your vitamins. And then vitamins, you know? So canap, plums, oranges, mangroves, all of those stuff combined together, they helps you build a strong immune system so that you could fight against contracting the COVID-19. Okay, and my sister said, again, take your vitamins. Okay? And okay, Nemo say, most importantly, fasting and exercise a lot. Okay? So we're encouraging people to exercise a lot. Okay, because the kids for the last 19 months have not exercised at all. Okay? So we need to exercise. All right? So these are the advice we're going to give. And I'm glad that everyone who on Facebook is giving their opinion. And that's why we want to have a conversation like this. Okay? So exercise, fasting, eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Okay? Stay 6 feet. Okay?
Anyone who comes down with any type of cough or syndromes in your house, isolate them, you know? So I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next week. But before I go, remember what I tell you. If anyone in any country ever comes to you and tell you it's mandatory for you as a citizen to receive something based on a dictatorship, it can't work in a democracy, okay? They're trying to take away your freedom. These mandatory orders, they are add up and add up. When so indirectly, you won't have no freedom. Remember, we had 19 months of police people. And all around the world, you see some of the powers that the police had. Okay? This is democracy. Fight for your democracy. Look beyond the COVID-19. All right? Listen to the Florida governor. Listen to some of the people who are in these states that are part of the CDC and are part of the World Health Organization, and listen to some of the people who are speaking. Okay? This is more than just about the COVID-19. This is about your freedom. There's people out there who want to take away your freedom so you won't be able to speak when they're doing anything wrong. What they want to say is what they say goes, and that's Julius Caesar. All right? And we don't want that ever again in this world. You got Hitler? Okay? So we see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. And I hope everyone enjoyed. Sis, I see shares oddly. I want to thank all my Facebook friends for tuning in tonight. And next week, we're going to talk about the police on their new training. We talk about the minister is asking those to have more coroner's inquest of the recent shooting across the country. Says it's a little slow. So we talk about that next week. So I want to say thanks to everyone who watching tonight. And I see you next week on Inside Inner City. Call ya. Gabby, I see ya. Good night. And good night, everyone. All right? Be safe.